Today's gospel comes to us from Mark, the 8th chapter, and can be found on page 820 of your pew Bible. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Have you ever been in a situation where you just wanted somebody to stop talking? Maybe not because they're boring or because they're being repetitive, but because you realize that this conversation in this particular place is problematic, that there is trouble, it's disturbing, it's uncomfortable, you're squirming in your seat, and you're like, "Oh, I please hope no one else can hear this conversation, because I don't, you know, I just," you're feeling your anxiety rise, and you just desperately want the other person to suddenly have to go to the bathroom, or, you know, just to stop the conversation. Well, that's where Peter is today. Jesus is talking about suffering. He's talking about pain. He's talking about rejection. He's talking about alienation. He's talking about death. And not just death of old age at the, you know, 98 years old, you fall asleep, but death by crucifixion, which was the most humiliating, most embarrassing, horrid, horrific way to die that there was. And Jesus is not talking quietly with one or two people in the corner about this, but Jesus is talking openly about this. And Peter gets to the point where he is not willing to hear another word. He's not able to hear another word. And he tries to get Jesus to be quiet, to stop talking, to not tell the truth. And so he says, "Jesus, stop it." And Jesus replies, and his reply is quite interesting, especially in English, because Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And so we kind of say, "Oh, Jesus is calling Peter evil," which in Hebrew is not quite the thing to get across. In Hebrew, Jesus is calling Peter ha-Satan, which means the adversary, the one who stands against something. So here Jesus is saying, "Peter, you be quiet, because you're standing between me and God's plan. You're standing between me and the cross where I need to be. So Peter, you're the one. You're the one who is the embarrassment here, not me. Not me." Today's text is an intriguing one, and it's also a challenging one, I think. Because have you ever felt there are some topics that it's hard to talk about openly? Have you ever felt that way? There are some things that are hard to talk about? And what are some of those topics that perhaps you or other people find it sometimes hard to talk about? with death, okay, talking about death, especially when it comes to their own, yes, your own, yeah.
Abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuality.
Homosexuality, yeah. Other ones? Racism? Classism? There's some other, gun control? Big things that are sometimes hard to talk about openly, especially if you're thinking that the person on the other side of the table or the person who's hearing the conversation might not be on the same page where you are. That makes things especially a little tricky, a little complicated to talk about, and to talk about openly as well. I think part of our calling as Christians is partly what Jesus does here, is to say there are some conversations that we need to have, even if they're uncomfortable, even if they're awkward, even if it's icky. There are some things that we need to talk about. Because at the bottom of a lot of these issues, as uncomfortable and as squirming as in your seat as they might make us feel, what we're talking about really is some big things and some Christian themes as well. And one of the topics underneath all of this is that we in this world are lost. We in this world are sinful. We are separated from God. We're created in God's image, made to be God's partners in this world, but we, ever since Adam and Eve, we have made a mess of things, if you think about it. Even though things are sometimes better now than they were 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, who thinks the world is a perfect place? No, it is not there yet. And a piece of that is our human nature, is that we are sinful. We are incompetent, we are stubborn, especially those of us who might be of German background, perhaps. We are selfish, right? And we are scared sometimes. And part of our society reflects all those pieces of what it means to be human are also pieces of our society. And so there are topics that we're afraid to talk about, that are uncomfortable to talk about, like mental illness, or poverty, or foster care, or violence against women, or violence against men, violence against the LGBT community. All those kind of things are part of our world, and yet it is hard to talk about them sometimes, and hard even to think about where we go from here on some of those issues. And sometimes I think we need to be a bit braver as Christians, as people of faith. It is hard work to talk about these things, but that's part of what we're called to do and be as Christians, is to witness and to say, yeah, there are some things that we can do to make these squirmy things, these difficult things, that we can do to change them and to help and bring light and bring openness and bring air to these topics and make it easier to talk about, easier to hear the other side of the conversation, easier to figure out maybe where to go from here. But that's hard work. Hard work because we all have those hasatans. We all have that adversaries before us as well. And some of those are fear, right? Who wants to be the one to put your foot in it first, right? Sometimes it's despair and doubt. This is such a big thing. What am I going to do about this topic? How am I going to bring any kind of help or any kind of light to this? Sometimes we're insecure about you know, will I be heard, or will people laugh, or will people never be my friend again, kind of a thing. And there's unwillingness to change. If I hear something I don't like, or if I hear something I do like, will I change my opinion? Or, and if I do, is that scary or challenging? Or how does that work? And so there are lots of things that stand in our way that act as hasatan for us as well. And when that happens, there is another truth that we need to be open about and speak of openly, not just the truth of our human sinfulness, but the truth of God's love, that God's love is there for all of us. As sinful, as broken as we are, even at times when we can't love ourselves or we can't figure out what to say or do about certain topics, the greater truth is that God's love is so immense, so complete, so overwhelming, that it washes over us into all those little gullies and vacancies of our character, and that love fills us up. And God's love is there not just for you, but for all the planet, for every person on it. And the truth is that God's love also is such that God loves us too much to let us stay where we are. God's love loves us too much to let us stay where we are, that God is pushing us and nudging us and calling us to talk openly, to listen eagerly, to dream about a world that is different than the world we're in right now. And God calls us to work with God to change the way things are. Oftentimes when there's a tragedy of national importance, people talk about how our thoughts and prayers are with people in the situation. And that is a very appropriate thing. Prayer is always a good thing. Thoughts are always a good thing. But I ran across this quote from a theologian. I'm going to murder his first, sorry, that's probably a bad choice of words. I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly. Miroslav Wolf is his name. And he said this, which I found to be an indictment of me and maybe of you as well. He says, there's something deeply hypocritical about praying for a problem you're unwilling to resolve. There's something deeply hypocritical about praying for a problem that you're unwilling to resolve. So as we think about what Jesus calls us to do, to take up our cross and follow him, that I think it's time for us to get a little less comfortable. I think it's time to struggle with some of these issues. Perhaps, you know, here at church, at home with families, with friends, perhaps it's time that God is calling us into a different way of living, to say to those hasatans, this is too important not to speak out. This is too important not to try to make a difference on this issue or that issue, whatever calls to you passionately. Because I think God is calling us to envision and live into a world that reflects heaven, where peace abounds, where joy is ever present, where peace and love reign supreme. And it's for us to help make that, to work with God and help make that happen here and now. Amen. Thank you.
sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God.
Situations that we'd like to pray for today.
Steve.
Rita.
Kerlin family.
Kerlin family.
Patrick and Nancy.
Patrick and Nancy.
Harvey and Jennifer.
Harvey and Jennifer.
Marcia.
Marcia.
Jill.
Jill.
Kenny and Tom.
Kenny and Tom.
Alyssa and Jim.
Alyssa and Jim. Renewed in the promise of baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church across this world. Make all bold to proclaim your love. Give us courage to carry the cross that confronts us each day and to follow Christ. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the world, for flowing streams and still waters, for urban parks and wilderness reserves, for pastures and forests. Instill in us a reverence for the earth as your creation and as our fragile home. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the nations. Teach us to honor our common humanity within our diversity. Turn enemies into friends. Lead us away from hatred, fear, and misunderstanding. Show our hearts the way to peace and fill us with compassion. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in need, for people whose struggles we fail to acknowledge, for those who leave their homes and families in search of safety or employment, for those who grieve, for all who are ill, especially for Steve, Rita, the Kerlin family, Patrick, Nancy, Jill, Marcia, Jennifer, Harvey, Tom, Kenny, Jim, Alyssa, and others that we name in our hearts or out loud.
For Don, Kathy, Jamie, Hannah, and the family of Clay Pearson.
David.
For all these people, and for their situations, and for those whose situations are known only to you, Lord, we pray. Lord, hear our mercy. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for us as we gather, for those who prepare this space for worship, for ministries of fellowship and hospitality, for those preparing for baptism or confirmation, for all who provide care and support to those who are homebound. Lord, in your mercy. God, we also give you thanks for the ways in which you support and uphold us again and again with your blessings. As we pause to say thank you for some of those gifts you've shown to us, and we do that either out loud or in our hearts. For all these gifts, Lord, thank you. Lord, in your mercy. We remember with thanksgiving those who have gone before us in the faith. Bring them to the fullness of their inheritance in Christ and into the joy of eternal life with you.